Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RCWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back into your homes once again, just reaching the world for Christ. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood, so we appreciate all of our call-ins. And so if you want to be a part of this service today, well, call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. And we'll put you right on the line with us, and we'll just worship the Lord in spirit and truth and just have a great time in the Lord. So our subject tonight is going to be on manifesting the Word, manifesting His Word, rather. So that's what we're trying to do, just get His Word out to the people and get it planted in their spirit, get it planted in their soul, that they can have life and have it more abundant. So praise the Lord. So I see we've got a couple call-in, so 706, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Brother and Sister Yearwood, it's Frieda Litchfield and Thomaston.
Okay, praise the Lord. Glad you called in there, Sister. 937, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yeah, this is Brother Green, Sister Green, Springboro, Ohio. It's good to be with you.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's good you called in there. We appreciate you and appreciate everyone that called in there. So you both called in real close together. So whichever one you want to go first, why just go ahead there.
Go ahead, Brother Green. Y'all can go first.
Okay, I got a little something here. Well, I thank the Lord that we have the Word of God today that you know, the Word is, the Bible said the Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. And I'm so glad it's the Word of faith and it'll work. You know, we can take the Word, and I think the subject tonight is on manifest His Word. And that's what we're doing.
Amen.
Is we're manifesting the Word of God. We're going here and there, wherever we can go, and we're telling the good news. We're telling them how Jesus died on the cross and how He became sin for us. He took our sins in His own body on the tree, and He paid the debt that we could never pay. We had a debt that we could never pay, and, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus paid that debt. When He was on that cross, He said, "It is finished." And, you know, they was wondering whether He would come down from that cross and whether He would call for Elijah or Elias and take him from that cross and come with angels and, you know, save him. They cried out there when He was being crucified, and He was hanging between two thieves, and they was railing upon Him, and, you know, they was ridiculing Him, and they was standing at the foot of that cross, many of the religious folks of that day, and they was saying, "He saved himself, or He saved others. He cannot save Himself, or if He could save Himself, why don't He come down from the cross?" But, you know, He carried that cross so that we could have eternal life. He brought, He took that cross all the way to the top of that hill. And the Bible said, we wasn't there, we don't know, but, you know, they sang an old song, how they whipped Him up the hill. And, you know, they was when He got part way up to that hill, He could not carry that cross any farther. He got so weak from the beatings and things that he had taken. And they got a hold of a man, and they made that man carry his cross rest the way up that hill. And he went up that hill, praise God. But, you know, he shed his blood for the saving of this world, that whosoever will could come and have eternal life. He was the manifested Word of God. He became a flesh. The Bible said in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he came down, they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, and the angels sang there on the hillsides and told those shepherds, come and see the Christ child, and that he would be the sacrifice for all sin. And when he came to John the Baptist, John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I'm so glad today, Brother Yearwood, that he carried my sins to the cross, and he was he was manifested to take away our sins. He came down here to defeat the devil, and he never sinned. There was no guile found in his mouth, and he when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but he suffered himself to the faithful Creator, to the Father of Heaven, and he became the Lamb of God, and I thank God for that today. I want to read something over here in John, 1 John in chapter 1. It says here, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. You see, Jesus was that word of life. He was the word that came down, and the Bible said the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, the law was given by Moses, but the Bible said that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, they used to carry that Ark of the Covenant, and they'd carry that Ark, praise God, and the Levites, the priests, would carry it, and they was in on the inside of that Ark was the bread that came from heaven. It was the manna that they had eaten in the wilderness, and they had placed it in that Ark, and they had placed the two stones, the tablets with the writings of from God the Father, and the Ten Commandments was on them stones, and they placed them in that Ark. And in that Ark, they had the rod of Aaron, which was a Levitical priesthood, and they had that rod that budded, you know, and had budded overnight, just a rod, a stick, a dead stick, praise God, but it grew almonds and budded. It grew flowers and almonds, praise God. And that God can put life in dead things, praise God. And, you know, but I thank God that Jesus was the life. The Bible says here, our hands have handled of the word of life. This is 1 John 1 and 1. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I thank God today, praise God, that we have this eternal life. And, you know, we don't have to go through life all down in the mouth, so to speak, and all dreary and dragging around, because we have eternal life with the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I'll tell you, when I found Jesus back in 1975 and 600 North Cherry Street in Eaton, Ohio, and I found him at an altar of prayer, when I began to pray,
amen,
and I began to call upon the Lord and seek him, he came, and he touched my life and turned me around, and he got my feet on solid ground, established my goings. He brought me out of a horrible pit and set my feet on the gospel route, praise God, and I've been on that road of righteousness through the help of the Lord all these many years. I've been traveling for Jesus and working for him, and he put joy down in my soul. He wrote my name on that heavenly roll, praise God, and he brought me out of darkness and set me, set my feet a-dancing, praise God, since I found this good way, praise God. I've been on dancing ground. There's been times I've shouted and I've jumped and I've run, praise God, and I've tried to do what I can do for Jesus. And I tell you what, one day I picked up the cross just like that man did going to the top of that hill. He picked up the cross. They compelled him to take the cross, and he picked it up. And I tell you tonight, Jesus is a manifested word of God that came from heaven above. If you're looking for an answer, if you're looking for a way out of trouble, if you're looking for a better life, I'll tell you what, you've got to take Jesus and get him on your side. And Peter got him in the boat one day, and Jesus preached out of Peter's boat. And after he got through a teaching and preaching, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. And Peter and them caught so many fish, they almost sunk the boats, praise God. And it astonished them, praise God, because they had fished all night and caught no fish. And they were fishermen. But here was a man, he was not a fisherman, but he was the Son of God. He was the one that was manifested to take away our sins. And in him, there was no sin, praise God. And he had the answer for every occasion. When they needed taxes, he told Peter, said, go and throw in and take out the first fish you catch with a hook. Take him out, take the hook out, take the money out of his mouth and pay our taxes. I tell you, God can help you. I don't care what kind of problem you've got. He can help you. He can come on the scene at the appointed time and the time that you need him the most. I believe he'll be there, because the Bible said he's a present help in the time of trouble. Praise God. And let me read just a little bit more. And I stopped there in verse 4, said, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, I tell you, we need our joy full today. And the only way we're going to get it is we're going to have to get a hold of this life that was manifested. In verse 2 it said, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. You see, we can have that fellowship that the apostles had. We can have that joy unspeakable and full of glory. But we got to get that manifested word of God. And you know, Jesus was the living word. But he went away, but he left us the written word, and we have it today. And Jesus is in this word. I'll tell you, when we begin to eat this bread of life, like it was in the Ark of the Covenant, there was the bread, and there was the commandments of God. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you, shall send you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. But you see, we can have fellowship, and we can receive the Word of God. I received the Word of God when I received Jesus because he is the Word, and he was the Word that was made manifest, and he brought the Word to us from the Father. He said, the words that I speak are not my words, but the words that I speak are the ones that the Father has given me. Praise God. And it says here, this then is the message in verse 5, which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'll tell you tonight, if you got a sin problem, I'll tell you, you know, the devil's always on his job. He don't never go on vacation. He don't never take a break, but he's a-watching you and me tonight. He's a-watching the people that call upon the name of the Lord, the ones that say that I'm a Christian, that I'm saved, that I'm born again, I'm a believer. He's watching us, and he's trying to get something against us. He's working, trying to get us out of fellowship with the saints. He's trying to put division between the people of God, because if he can get you out of the house of God, then he knows he can get you away from where the blood is cleansing from sin, and where the Bible is being preached, and where faith is being manifested. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we know we have to have faith to stay in contact with God. It's not by might and by power, but it's by His Spirit that He has to, He dwells in us, and He, His Spirit is fed by the Word of God. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. You know, they ate that bread in the wilderness, they died, praise God. But a man can eat this bread and never die. He is the bread. He said, this bread is broken for you. And he set them down. They sat down at that supper table, that last supper, and they broke the bread. Jesus broke the bread, handed them the bread, and they ate that bread. And they drank fruit of the vine. And Jesus said this, fruit of the vine here that you drank, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. He died to seal this word, to make this word effective. He went and gave us his will, and he went back to heaven to sit on the right hand of the Father. And he's sitting up there on the right hand of God, and he's there because he's fulfilling his word. He's fulfilling his will. He left us his last will and testament, praise God, and told us what we have inherited because he went to prepare a place for us. And let me go a little bit more right here. It says, but if we walk in verse 7 in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, people have been indoctrinated different ways. You know, it's good to have doctrine. I believe in good Bible doctrine. But, you know, we don't need to fight over certain doctrines, because when it comes to Christianity, I was talking to a man one day, and he said, well, this church split because they believed they got sanctified sometime after they got saved, and then another group believed they got sanctified when they got saved. And see, they split over this stuff, but I'll tell you what, we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus, and we're cleansed, and we're made a new creature, and we're born again. And we'll never be no more cleaner than we are the first day we knelt at that altar and we gave our heart to God, and the Spirit of God came into our life. And I don't know how you could get any closer to God than that, but I know we got to walk in the light and abide in the vine. And if we get out of fellowship, we're going to I be in darkness. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have a fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I read in the Bible that Jesus walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and I believe that that's a saying to me that he walks in the church. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Amen.
Praise God. And if he's there in the midst of them, then according to that, he's there, praise God. He is in the midst. And he's not far from any of us. Apostle Paul said that the Lord is not far from any of us. If we'd feel after him, we'd find him, praise God, over there in the book of Acts. And let's go a little further here. But what I'm saying is, you need to stay in the fellowship of the saints. You need to stay where you can hear the Word of God preached, and the Lord will manifest himself in his Word, and he will show up, praise God, and meet the needs of the people. He will heal the sick. He's healed me many times. I'm not always healed, but sometimes the Lord comes by and heals me of certain things. I've had eye problem. The Lord healed it. I had ulcers, and God healed me. The doctors tried to, but they couldn't. But God came by and healed me. Praise God. And different things. I had gallbladder problem, and the Lord healed that. And just different things the Lord has healed me of. And I'm still believing God for other healings. I got healed not too long ago. I had a thing on my came up like a growth of a thing, and I said, Joanna, put your finger on that and pray for me. She put her finger on that thing and prayed, and in about 2 weeks it was plumb gone, and it's still gone today, and it ain't never going to come back, because I believe the Lord took it off for good. Praise God. Different things he's done for me. And he's the healer today. I've heard people being healed of cancer and different things that the doctors couldn't do nothing with. But see, they stayed in the fellowship of God, and they walked in the light. And Jesus was in the light. And he's there wherever his word is preached. He's there. If we preach salvation, he'll save souls. If we preach healing, he will heal people, because he's going about doing good, and he's healing those that are oppressed to the devil. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed, praise God. It says here, if we say, in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Well, I remember when I got saved, I had to admit that I was a sinner. I had to admit that I could not take away my sins. There was no way to wash them away, but I had to come to Jesus when I found him through the preaching of the gospel, and it was preached and manifested to me through the preaching. I realized that it was true. I seen people being healed of different things, and I said, this has got to be true. There's something going on here. And I began to search it out and look in the Bible, and I found out that everything that was happening through the power of God and through the Spirit. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. So I confess my sin to Jesus. I said, Lord, I need help. I can't quit sinning. I'm a sinner, and I need you to help me. And the Bible says here, he is just faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Well, I want you to know that God is not a liar. He is truth. But people go around telling lies on God, and they try to say, some of them say that there is no God. And some of them say, well, if God was real, why don't he turn all this around? Well, he's getting ready to, and I believe our time is running short. And if we're going to do anything for God, we're going to have to do it quickly. And I believe if we're going to work, we're going to have to work before the door of mercy closes, because I believe if that door was to go shut today, there'd be many that never get in, because the 10 virgins, and 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And you know, the 5 wise took the oil in their lamps, and they went out to meet the bridegroom, and the other 5, they also went, but their lamps had gone out. And I'll tell you something, those 5 wise virgins went in, and the Bible said the door was shut. And they came and began to knock, and he said, I don't know you. You see, we've got a limited time to get our heart right with God. We've only got a space of time to get things right, and we had better get it right, praise God, because if we don't, we're going to a place that we ain't going to like. And you know, I was thinking, they said, you know, this man, he's born of fornication. Those men were accusing him of that kind of thing, and they were rejecting him as the Savior, and they were saying, we have no sin. We are not sinners. You're the one. They was pointing at Jesus, saying, you're the one that is the sinner, and we don't have any sin. We're righteous. But I tell you something, they weren't righteous. They needed the Savior. Just like the 2 men went up to the temple to pray, and the one said, I'm a Pharisee. I pay all my tithes, and I fast twice a week, and I do everything that the law tells me to do. And here comes Jesus, and he come along, and they looked at him like, who does he think he is? And he's saying he's the Son of God. And, well, you know the rest of the story, how they took him to the cross, and they crucified him. And let me go on a little farther here. Praise God. So that verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. In other words, we're saying, we don't need you, Jesus. We're okay. We're, you know, we can make it. We've got our religion, whatever type of religion you might have. I don't know what kind you got, but if it ain't based on Jesus Christ, if he's not the foundation, if he's not the Savior in your particular religion, then you need Jesus, because you're going to find out that you'll be on the outside looking in, and you'll see that you missed it. And chapter 2 says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we know that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. He was manifested to take away our sins. And I don't know, you got something, Sister Joanna, or Brother Yearwood, go ahead and conduct it. However you feel, brother.
Okay, appreciate the word of God there. So let me see who this other call in here. And 661, go ahead and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Brother Yearwood, this is Sister Gladys. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Okay, we've got another call in there just in front of you, Sister Gladys. We'll let them go, then we'll get to you there.
Okay, go ahead.
Sister Frieda?
Yes, sir.
Just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Okay. I will start out at first in Titus 1, and I will read a few verses. Paul, a servant of God and apostle Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me and according to the commandments of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. You know, this is a book about Titus, but he was telling, he's one of his sons, and we have to have grace, mercy, and peace. You know, if everybody used grace, mercy, and peace instead of doing evil things, doing the good things, the Lord would love them and do things for them if they would just listen to him. You know what I mean? And now I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 2. Okay, let's see, where is that? There it is. Okay, let's see. Oh, there it is. I'm going to start at verse 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it. For your sake, forgive I it in the person of Christ. You know, we have to forgive people. We make mistakes ourselves, but if the Lord, we ask the Lord to forgive us, he's going to forgive us. But if we don't forgive other people, they're not going to be forgiven. So we have to forgive them. Man. And let the Lord do it. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, the devil thinks, he used to be one of God's children, but he wanted to be so greedy and wanted it his way, but the Lord throwed him out. And so I don't want to be one of the devils. I want to be one of God's children. Furthermore,
amen.
When I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. You see, he went to a certain place where the Lord told him to go to, and then when things didn't go like he wanted to, the Lord told him to go on to another place. All right, back to you.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there, Sister Frieda. Sister Gladys.
Good to be with you, Brother Yearwood. I'm not sure which speaker or microphone I'm coming through. I've got two set in front of my face, but whatever the Lord wills. I appreciate you guys inviting me onto your broadcast. I give God all glory, Brother Yearwood. He's been good to me. I thank him that he woke me up this morning and put air in my lungs. I know people get tired of hearing that, but, you know, we should praise God every day for all that he does.
Amen.
If it wasn't for him, I couldn't even walk today. I give him the glory and honor. And I really want to give him praise and honor, because to preach his word, sometimes it's a fearful thing. Because when years ago I wasn't called to preach, I knew that little known was little required. As you increase in knowledge, God's expecting more of us ministers than he ever does of those that know little of the word. I want to preach it full force and do what his will is for my life. I want to start in Mark 16:15-18. Hopefully these scriptures haven't been read already. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I believe in this day and hour, Brother Yearwood, that we're coming upon a time that those miracles are happening. You know, there was one night that I was sick in my bed, but recently I had watched a video of a little boy. He couldn't control his muscles, and he just didn't seem to know what was going on all around him. But these ministers had a true heart of God. And that's the thing we have to have is God's faith. We have to see it through, and we have to lay hands on the people and truly have the faith that God wants us to have. And they laid hands on that little boy, and as they kept praying and being persistent in that prayer, that little boy stood straight up. But before, he wobbled and could hardly stand up, and his arms waved all over the place. But when they got finished with that little boy after about 15, 20 minutes, I know that that little boy was straight. He seemed to be in his right mind. And I believe today if we preach the gospel the way God intends us to and preach it the way it's written, not add to or take away. God said the plagues of the book would be added to those that do this. But I'm praying that God will help us to do exactly what his word said. He said greater things can we do that Jesus did at one time. And I pray if we believe it and we live the life that Jesus wants us to do and live upright before God, that we will be able to see those wheelchairs disappear. You know, a couple years ago, I was in a wheelchair for a short season, but God brought me out of that wheelchair, and I praise him tonight. We have much to honor him. He's good. The devil wants to knock us down and think that he can keep us down, but I'm not one he can keep down. I'm like that bozo the clown. You knock me down, I'm going to bounce right back. I'm going to keep continuing on to the Lord. I know he brought me out of death's door, and I thank him for that. I thank him that he put me on the road again to do what he wants me to do for the gospel and preach it the way it's meant to be. I want to go to Colossians 1:25-29, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ, in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You know, there's a right road to this. You know, people can speak fables and they can believe every wind and doctrine that comes our way, and Jesus spoke in the word that those things would come. You know, if it sounds good and it sounds pretty and they can still dabble in their sins, people want to grab onto it. But I know there's a God I serve that doesn't want us to be in the middle of sin. There's not a straddling of the fence. You've got to either live it or you've got to let this other part of your life go. You've got to stand firm and believe on God's word and be firm in what God says that we can do. He said, if we believe in the word, he said, everything that we strive to do, he said, in all things we can do, Jesus Christ gives me strength to do the things that I need to do. I praise you for that, Brother Yearwood.
Amen.
You know, we have to separate ourselves in this day and hour. You know, we can't be a part of the worldly things and claim that we're a Christian. You know, it's more than just wearing a cross around our neck. You know, we need to live a godly life and show our children the right way to go. Because if we don't live it, they're just going to say, well, you're no better than the people in the world. And I want to do better than that. I want to live uprightly before the Lord. It said in Romans 10:14-15, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, Jesus brings a presence in our life. He can lead us and guide us with angels. And the Holy Spirit will teach us. You know, some people think that they have to look in different commentaries and they have to grab this book and grab that book. But, you know, the only teacher we need to have is the Holy Spirit. And I believe that if we listen to the Holy Spirit closely, God will talk to us and lead us and guide us like he did Jesus. I want to read in Ephesians 3:5-8. I want to hear some of the other ministers from the year where it says, in that chapter, it says, which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereas I made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, there's a price to pay in this thing. People think that you can get in the pulpit and not have to spend time in prayer and spend time in the Word of God. But I differ with those people that have that opinion, because you do toil and labor. He said to show, to study, to show yourself approved. And that's what I want to be in front of the Lord. Someday I want to enter into the gates of pearl, and I want for the Lord to say to me, welcome in my daughter. You know, well done. I don't want to see him or hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. There's many people out that will perform miracles. The devil will show up like a light, and we're not going to be able to believe everything that we see in these last days. But we have to know the word for ourselves. You know, like Brother Green and Sister Green have preached the word many times. You know, we need to stick to what we know. The King James Version, just all that I know to believe in, because there's many doctrines out there. There's many commentaries that will lead you astray. They changed the word today, Brother Yearwood, and they don't have the intense meaning that King James Version has. You know, that's the version I want to preach from, and that's the one I preach from today. I don't want to take up too much time, but I thank you once again for letting me be on the broadcast with you. I believe it's an honor, you know, to be an ambassador of Christ, as the Lord Jesus said that we could be. But I know that there was a price. There were martyrs. You know, the first martyr was Stephen. He was stoned, and Paul was part of that. And the people didn't trust Paul because of all the Christians that he had slain. But we can have to watch what we do and watch what we say. You know, the tongue can kill many if we don't watch it. We need to use our tongue to uplift and encourage and build the kingdom of God. Let people know that Jesus loves them no matter how far they've gone in this thing, no matter how far away they feel like they've left the Lord. He still loves us. He wants us to come back. You know, I want to turn it back over to you, Brother Yearwood, and thanks again for letting me be on your broadcast.
Gladys, huh? Brother Yearwood had to step out for a minute, so I'm going to sing until he gets back.
Okay,
we'll
sing
go a ahead. Song and then we'll get on with the other people that's on the line. Thanks for being with us, Gladys.
Thank you. I appreciate you all of you.
Down here for my dear Lord. Often I suffer,
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song. I hate that I had to jump up and run, but I had a coughing spell hit me there, so I didn't want everybody to hear me. So appreciate all of you calling in there and being a part of this. So if anybody else want to be a part of this, call in on 310-742-1759, and we'll put you on the line here with us. So you can get your prayer requests ready after Betty gives hers here. You can give yours.
We're still praising God and rejoicing with Brother Fred that God's healed him of cancer, and we just want you to remember him in prayer and ask God to strengthen him every day. And we got Brother Harder said that his cousin had called him about 3 days ago, and his cousin's wife, Kathy Lee, was rushed to the hospital, and her main artery that pumps all the blood through her body was ruptured, and she was on a ventilator and wasn't doing no good at all. But yesterday he called back and said that she was off the vent, was doing a lot better, and that God was moving for her. So we just give God the praise for that. And Rubens and Wanda Bivens need healing. Sister Debbie Samples needs healing. Brother Fred, like I mentioned a while ago, needs a touch. Keith Green and David Keller have cancer and need miracles. Kevin Miller family, there's a lot of stuff that they need God to move for. And Kevin's mom has cancer and she needs a miracle. Bobby Henderson broke her ankle and she had pins and screws and all that put in, so just remember her, and remember her son Stevie that's in a bed. He's crippled, and she can't take care of him for her being down, so just remember them. And Glenna Talent broke her leg. Steve Woods needs healing in his leg. Got some kind of infection in it. And Debbie Eggenberg has cancer and needs a miracle. Let's remember Brother Eddie Bolton that's been coming on with us. Let's remember him. His back's all messed up. And Brother Paul Fritz, Pastor Paul Fritz, needs healing in his body. He had a stent put in, and he hasn't been doing well ever since. And let's remember a little baby by the name of Avery Sue that needs a miracle in her body. Charles Bryant has cancer and needs a miracle. Brother John's grandson has two types of cancer. Let's remember him. He needs a miracle. And another grandson has some kind of a disease. And Vivian has cancer, and Vivian's daughter has multiple sclerosis, so they can't take care of each other, so let's remember them. And Bill Sexton needs prayer. His medication is not agreeing with him, so let's remember him. He's a pastor also. And Pastor Rick Harris has heart problems. And Pastor Brian Fincannon, he's a pastor in South Carolina. He's had heart surgery and needs healing. Greg Padgett is having back problems. And let's remember this guy named Ronnie. We seen him at the store yesterday. And Lloyd Ray asked him if he was still going to church, and he said no. And Lloyd Ray told him that, you know, he didn't need to spell the assembling of himself together. And he said that he was okay just staying at home. So let's remember this guy tonight, that God will touch him. And remember Brother Ed Moore that needs a healing. And pray for all the listeners that are listening out there that God will meet every need that they have. Remember our five kids.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. So if you got a prayer request, want to turn them in, make them known at this time, just go ahead and turn them in there, and we'll go to the Lord here in a few minutes and pray for them. Brother Green?
Yeah, Brother Green, or Brother Yearwood.
That's okay.
Brother Green
go
and
ahead.
I want you, pray for us. We've got an unspoken request. We need the Lord to move on and let's see. Y'all already turned in for Keith Green with cancer, and Sister Josie from our church, she's fallen, and I think they said she has internal bleeding. And there was another sister, Sister Willis, from our church. She also needs prayer.
Man, Lord. Okay, Sister Frieda?
There's I'm not sure what his name is. One of the members, his uncle, is not doing too good. So let's remember him in prayer.
Okay. Sister Gladys?
Yes, Brother Yearwood. Remember my children. I pray that I know they're coming in. God's assured me of that. And pray that the power of conviction will fall quickly, that they will come in quickly. I just want them to be on fire for the Lord like they were at one time in their life. Pray for my husband and I. We have a financial need that I'd like for God to move on. And I have an Uncle Gary that's getting ready to have surgery on his a softball-sized cancer. I need him lifted up. And along with John Loveless, he's had surgery for cancer, but I pray that all that's removed. And my sister-in-law, Nancy, who just had knee surgery. I pray that you'll help me in prayer with those.
Okay, we sure will. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and pray for these needs now. And after we get done praying over them, our Sister Green, be ready to obey the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come in agreement right now. Father, Lord, that you'll just reach down, God, every one of these requests. Father, Lord, we thank you, Father, for everything that you've God done. And Father, you see every request, Lord, you know every need out there, God. We just ask you, Father, Lord Jesus, that you will deal with them, Lord, in your own way. God, that you will touch them. Lord, that you will save them that's lost. God, sanctify them and fill them with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, them that's sick and afflicted, Lord, we take them stripes, God, that you took on your back. And Father, we place them, God, up on each every need out there, God. Everyone that needs a healing, Father. Lord, you took the stripes on their back, Father, on your back for their healing. And God, we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all right now, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for each and every one, every listener out there, God. We praise you for them, God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. 770, come down and tell us who you are and where you're at.
For the Branham family.
Praise the Lord on the Branham family. Okay.
Hello, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord, brother.
I want to make a couple of comments, if I may.
Go right ahead, brother.
We're talking about Titus 1 and 3. As in due times manifested his word through preaching. And I got something out of that. People today are starving for God's word, but they don't know it.
Amen.
They're starving. They're hungry. They're reaching out. They're grasping. And they realize they've got a vacancy in their life. They've got a hollow place. Shallow places. They don't understand what's going on. They can't solve their own problems. Their life's in a mess. And they're starving for God's word, but they don't know it.
Man.
And they're being offered a lot of substitutes today. Preachers are making people feel good, tickling their ears and telling them you're going to be all right. But God has ordained that his word be brought to them and that his word alone can feed them. And the only way that they can be fed is through the preaching of the word. Paul said, how can they hear without a preacher? And in the history books, Martin Luther said, the highest worship of God is the preaching of the word. So God's word is revealed through his word. Therefore, preaching his word is preaching his character and his will, and that defines who God is. And exalts him because he is the one to be exalted. And I like to say this when I preach, heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word shall never pass away.
Amen.
And when we manifest God's word, actually, when a preacher preaches, it's not us that's doing the talking. It's our vocal cords being used, but it's the word of God that's going forth. This is not my word or Brother Yearwood's word. This is the incorruptible word of God. And people can argue with it. I've heard people say, well, I know the Bible says so-and-so, but. And when you say but, you're drawing the line. And I say that whatever God's word says is the way I'm going to live, because that's how I'm going to be judged.
Amen, brother.
And I challenge everybody, if you're listening tonight and you're not sure where your destination's going to be, you get into the word of God. Don't listen to what everybody else tells you that's right. You read the word, and he'll reveal himself through his word. His word will become manifest in your heart, because I heard the other day that there's people, I saw on a video, broke my heart, people in China and some of these countries were actually crying because they smuggled Bibles into them, and that's what they got for Christmas. And they treated that Bible like some kids would a toy, or some of us would a real great present, and we'll go in homes in America and the word of God's never opened. But I'm telling you, there's coming a judgment day. But I believe that God's word is being made manifest through his preachers. If they'll preach the exact word of God and not compromise, just say, this is thus what saith the word of God. And I just had to interject that tonight, that if you're just not sure about where you're heading, and you're not sure, and you're lonely, and you're frustrated, and you don't know which way to turn around, get in God's word, and he'll direct your path, brother.
Amen.
So I've enjoyed I've been listening to you, and I'd like to make this announcement, if anybody's out there, about our revival, which will begin Friday night at 7:30 at the Demarest Georgia Church of God. And the church is at 559 Central Avenue in Demarest, Georgia. And I'll be preaching, and my entire family will be singing Friday night at 7:30, Saturday night at 7, and Sunday morning at 11. So if anybody's out there like to get a good service, the word is going to be preached, and the word's going to be sung about. And come out and be with us. And it's a joy to be on your program today, Brother Yearwood. You're doing a great work for God.
Praise the Lord. Well, we appreciate you coming on there with us, Brother Ronnie. I tell you what, the word of God is going to be preached, or we've got a button over here that we can flip, and they'll go silent. So I praise God for everyone that comes on here. They've always preached the word. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to get off where I can listen and keep up the great work. And all of you out there, give them your support. They're very good friends of mine. And God bless you, my brother.
God bless you too, Brother Ronnie. We appreciate you and we love you.
All right. Praise we'll talk Lord. To you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, if you've ever want to be in a great Holy Ghost meeting, if you're ever around where Brother Ronnie Branham and them's at, you definitely need to go, because they ain't going to do nothing but just preach the word and sing the word to you in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And they live down there in Georgia. He's a Georgia evangelist, so of the Church of God. He travels around everywhere. He's in Ohio and just everywhere. So, but the pastor has to do the calling to him. It won't do no good for one of the members to call. The pastor call and make the schedule with them there. And praise the Lord. So, Sister Green, just go ahead and obey the Lord now.
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood. Good to be with you all tonight, and joy to everybody that's been on already. And from what I understand, Titus 1 and 3 is the subject tonight. of it. I'm going to read it again. I think Sister Gladys might have read it. That hath in due times manifested his word through the preaching which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And got to studying that, the word manifest or manifested, the word is an adjective. It means, manifest means clear, plain, apparent, to make manifest, place beyond doubt, meaning in other words, to make known, praise God. In Romans 10 and 15, Sister Gladys mentioned this, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings, or bring glad tidings of good tidings, of good things, praise God. And I got to thinking about this word manifested, Brother Yearwood, and I thought about how Jesus came, and he's the Word. And John 1, it talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, in him the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and I thought about how John, how it mentions in the book of Malachi that there would be two messengers, and one was the forerunner, and that's John the Baptist, how he was the one, a voice crying out in the wilderness, and he talks about how to come see this man who's coming, who I'm not even worthy to unbear to kneel down, in my own paraphrasing there, and unloosen his shoelaces. But he comes to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. John the Baptist comes to baptize it for fruits of repentance. And I was thinking how we're to preach this, Brother Yearwood, how we're to manifest the Word of God. And the Christians, once you've repented of your sins and you've took on his name, Jesus Christ, as being your Savior, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach. And how can you be sent unless God, you know, how can you preach lest you be sent by God? In 1 Corinthians, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians it talks also about, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. I was thinking how Paul was talking to Timothy, and I believe Brother Branham there, he just talked about how in the last days they're not going to endure sound doctrine, how in 2 Timothy, Paul was talking to Timothy, and he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge in the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. And how that's happening today, Brother Yearwood, how they're turning to a deaf ear, and how they're turning away from the true word. The Bible says that man can't live by bread alone. It says that by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the Bible talks about how not one jot, not one tittle would pass until all these things would be fulfilled that God has in plan. Praise God. And we see him right now. We see him being manifested. We see him coming to pass. He says, you know, you can look at the sky and you can see if the weather is fair. You can see in my words here that you can see if a storm's coming, but you don't know the sign of the sign of the Son of Man coming. Praise God. You know, they've turned a deaf ear, the world has, and I was thinking how it's all about fame and fortune, and how this generation, it says that this generation will not pass till all these things also come to pass, and how They've turned it's a self, it's a me generation today, Brother Yearwood. It's all about what I do and what they do, and not you know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. We got to, when we preach the gospel, we're to preach just what the disciples preached. I believe that was Brother Branham just was talking about how not to compromise, and we need to preach the truth and not bending in any way, no shape or form. When the disciples went preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they were persecuted, and Jesus said that you'll be persecuted for my name's sake. And how today we want to kind of smooth it over and pat it on the back and say, you're okay, come on, and you just do whatever you want to do, and as long as you're in the house of God, you're going to be all right. But, you know, there's a close walk with God. I don't believe when we get before the throne of Jesus that he's going to say, depart from me because you live too close to me. I don't believe it's going to be like that at all. He said, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity.
Amen.
He said in the last days, too, that they'll be saying, Lord, Lord, haven't we done these things in your name? And haven't we prophesied in your name? And haven't we done all these things? And another scripture said, he said, rejoice not because you have power to cast out devils and to do these things. But he said to rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And my aunt, I told it not too long ago. I tell it all the time because I just thought how marvelous this was. Someone asked her, she's an evangelist, and she's not real popular, but she's a very good evangelist, and how someone had asked her one time, said, when are you going to make it big? When are you going to get your name up there and make it big? And she said, my name is as big as it's going to get. It's written up way up above, and she reached, she's a real short lady, and she reached as high as she could reach, and it gave demonstration. It was manifestation. She was making it known about her name is going to be written, or is written, way and high above, as high as it could ever get. Praise God, because it is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the way I want it to be too, Brother Yearwood. And you know, I'm not popular because I don't preach a popular gospel. Brother Timothy sings that song, telling the story over and over again, and that's a wonderful song that he sings, because that's what we do. We bring good tidings, and we share this good news, praise God, that people can have eternity forever with Jesus Christ. But there is a price to pay. Jesus done paid the price at Calvary when he said it's finished. But once Amen. You take on... praise God, once you repent of your sins, and then Jesus has done his part, praise God, and then we must do our part. You know, when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and there stood John, and I believe it was Peter, Jesus showed them Elijah, I believe it was, and Moses, and then the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And it says, hear ye him. The Father said, hear ye him. Hear the word of God. Let it be manifested in your life. Let it be known in your life. You know, it's God's Spirit. You know, when he asked Peter, said, who does man say that I am? Who do you say that I am, Peter? And Peter said that you're the Son of the living God. Praise God. And Jesus said, only the Father could reveal this to you, the manifestation of the word of God. Praise the Lord. You could read the Word of God and be a sinner, and it be a dead letter to you. But when you have the Spirit of God in you to manifest himself to you, the words just jump out off the pages, and it becomes life into you, that you could go on another mile. Praise God. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling. Praise the Lord. He's running a race, and I'm running this race, and I'm determined to make heaven my home, and I want you to make heaven your home. All you got to do is repent and ask Jesus to come into your life and be the Lord of your life, and let him send you. Praise God. You know, I believe it was Joshua said, the Lord, send me and I'll go. Praise God. I think it was him. I'm not real sure now. But Lord, send me and I'll go. I'll preach your word, and you preach his word. You know, You've got to study to show yourself approved. The King James Bible is the only word, praise God, the only translation, praise the Lord. It was translated out of a different language into the English language. All these other things that they call the Bible is interpretate what they interpret it to be. Commentaries and what they think that the translated word is. But the King James Bible is not patented. They didn't want to make any money off of it. They wanted you to have the real word of God. God wanted you to have the real word of God. Now, I know that Thompson Chains, and I know that all these other Bibles that are King James Bibles, they have footnotes and stuff, and those are patented because it's what they've studied and what they've looked up and how they compared Scripture to Scripture. But stick with King James Bible. Like it says, not one jot, not one tittle, not one dot, period, not one crossing of the T is what that, a jot and a tittle is a dot, and a tittle is a crossing of the T. None of that's going to pass. In the back of the Bible, it says any man add or take it away said that he would have his part. The plagues would be added to him. The plagues would come to him. And, you know, Brother Yearwood, I was thinking about how it was Pharaoh and Moses, how every time Moses would enter to Pharaoh's chamber, court there or whatever, and God would say, go tell my people, to let my people go, tell Pharaoh, and how Pharaoh was hardened his heart every time the plagues and different things would come in. And I remember asking that question, how come God hardened Pharaoh's heart? And then, you know, Brother Yearwood, it was the things that Pharaoh was going through, the anger kindled upon him because he wanted to be bigger than God, just like Lucifer. He was prideful, and he wanted to be bigger than God. He wanted the throne of God, and he thought one day he would take the throne. And just like Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Even though the Bible says that God hardened his heart, Pharaoh's evil in his heart hardened his heart. It was the things that God done to get Pharaoh's attention, the manifestation. And you know how people today, God has moved for them. God has saved loved ones. God has healed. God has manifested himself to them, and they still harden their heart. The rich man said, just let my five or seven brothers, let Lazarus go to them. And God told him, Jesus told him, even they would not believe him that was risen from the dead. They still won't believe in Moses' day. Praise God. They still aren't going to believe. God is good. Even though God manifests himself to many, they're still going to turn a deaf ear. They're still going to harden their own heart. Because God, I tell you, God's getting ready to do something here really soon. You can look at the news. God said, watch and pray. If we look at the news and see what's going on in the world today, we know that it's just about right there. God is, he's right there at the door, ready to come back. Gabriel's getting ready to trumpet, praise the Lord. And God, Jesus is getting ready to come back for his bride. And we're going to go away because we're looking for him. He's not going to steal us like a thief in the night, but it's going to be a thief in the night he is to them that are not watching. If the good man would have been watching, the thief would not have came in and robbed him. But, you know, Jesus, we're looking to go with him one day. And I thank God. I praise the Lord. And this has been a great broadcast. It's been a wonderful hearing Brother Ron Branham come on. And that's just been a joy to us. And we got to hear him and at the Judah Church in Columbus, Ohio. And if he's up our way again, we'll try to go hear him. And we just love y'all, Brother Yearwood. Back to you.
Praise the Lord. We appreciate that. So let me get this other call in here, then we'll have a couple of songs, and we'll get him to obey the Lord. 770, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord, Brother John. Glad you called in there. I was beginning to wonder about you.
I was beginning to wonder about myself,
bro. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm on the let Tim sing a song, then I'm going to have a song played for the Branham family. Then we'll get you in there, Brother John, to obey the Lord.
All right.
Many times I have traveled down the long, lonely road, headed for another place to tell. Someone who needs it, the story of Jesus, and how he'll save their soul from hell. I've seen many great places, many new faces, beautiful sights where I've been. But I want you to know the reason I go, to tell the old story again. Over and over I'll tell the old story to people I've never seen. It's the story of Jesus. Oh, how he loves us. He'll keep us safe evermore. How he paid the full cost for a world that was lost, to save a world lost in sin. I am headed for glory, telling the story over and over again. At times I have questioned, I have wondered, Lord, is this truly your will? I've been discouraged, tired and weary, sometimes it seems all uphill. That's when he takes me back, all the places I've been, where he saved so many from sin. It breaks my heart like it did from the start, and I've got to go tell it again. Over and over I'll tell the old story to people I've never seen before. It's the story of Jesus. Oh, how he loves us. He'll keep us safe evermore. How he paid the full cost for a world that was lost, to save a world lost in sin. I am heading for glory, telling the story over and over again. I am heading for glory, telling the story over and over and over and over again.
To sing, and I've got a reason to shout, and I am not ashamed to say what it's all about.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Appreciate that wonderful song of Brother Brandon Nehemiah singing. And I'll say this before we get Brother John on there. If you ever want the Brandon family to come into your church, if you'll contact me, I'll be their booking agent. I'll recommend them highly. They are great, wonderful people. And me and Brother Brandon are real good and close friends. So we're so close that we even call each other up and tell us what we're going to have for supper. So that means that's close friends. So, Brother John, just go ahead and obey the Lord.
Have you got an opportunity to speak yet, Brother Yearwood?
No, but you just go ahead and take your liberty in the Lord. I'll get mine later on or the next broadcast. The Lord carries the next week. I'll take it then. You just go ahead and obey the Lord, brother.
Praise the Lord. You know, we are talking about manifesting the Word of God. You know, and I know probably one or two of the other speakers already brought this out, but God began to deal with me out of the book of Titus, amen. And this was the writing, amen, to Titus, the son of Paul in the faith, amen, not his natural son, but a son that was born because he had received the Word of God. You know, the Bible says in Titus chapter 1, verse 1, says, Paul, servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. You know, he was an apostle because the belief of God's elect, amen, had come, and he was a servant of God. He was an apostle, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. In other words, Paul began, amen, to acknowledge this truth, amen, after he had received the godliness of God. You know, there was a man, amen, that studied under Gamaliel and knew the word, and amen, and even spoken, and amen, it was a Pharisee, and amen, and began and studied at the feet of Gamaliel, but amen, still didn't know the God of the word, amen. You know, there's a lot of people that know the word of God, but they don't know the God of the word, and the Bible says, in verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, here was amen. He had a hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God promised us, amen, even before the foundation of the world, that we would have eternal life, that things that he had created would be forever. Then the Bible says, but hath in due times. In other words, there's a time, there's an appointed time that manifested his word through preaching. In other words, he revealed, that's what the word manifested, he began to reveal his word, amen. There was a revelation of the word of God. There was a revelation of God himself, amen. And the Bible says that which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. In other words, the Apostle Paul said there was a manifestation of the word of God. There was a revelation as the Apostle Paul and others began to preach the word of God. Amen. There was a door open. Amen. Their eyes were open. Amen. There was a revelation because this was the new time. The Bible says when the Lord had come in the fullness of time, born of a woman, amen, and this was the fullness of time. The Bible says to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. And he said, for this very cause that he was made manifest, said, left I thee in Crete, and thou shouldest set in order the things that were wanting, and ordained orders, elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. So the very reason, amen, that he began, amen, the revelation of God, amen, the revelation of his word, the manifestation of the word of God through preaching now begins. And so he left Titus, who had been born, amen, through the Spirit under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And so here he was. They had received the same faith. They were brothers of the faith. And the Bible says, how beautiful is it that brethren dwell in unity. So he had been born again, amen, under this. And so he had left Titus, amen, the writings of Titus here, and amen, because for the very reason that God's word, God was revealing himself. You know, the Bible says, amen, that talks about that Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So God in his word was speaking that this was the due season, amen, for him to be revealed through his word, through his preaching. You know, the Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 1 that
here's the Apostle John, amen, that walked with the Lord and manifested himself, and the Bible says that that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, they saw the Word of God. John saw the Word of God. He saw the manifestations of the Word of God. He heard, and from the beginning, amen, as he began to walk, you know, as he was called, amen, to become a fisher of men. Here was a man, him and his brother, they were fishermen, and amen, and amen, they had come, and they were the sons of thunder, the sons of Baragnes, and they were called, amen, to change, amen, what they were catching, amen, and they were to catch men. God had changed their occupation. He said, come and follow me. And the Bible says, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. They had handled, amen, the word of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. For the life was manifested or revealed, as we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So this life, eternal life, they saw, amen, there was a revelation of eternal life unto John and the other apostles through the preaching of the word of God. They had seen the Word of God. They had heard the Word of God. They had handled the Word of God. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, taste, amen, and see if he's not good. They had tasted, amen. Amen. By the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, he said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. In other words, that which they had seen, that which they had seen with their own eyes. Amen. So the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. And the evidence of things not seen. So we know, amen, in the beginning, amen, there was a faith. This is how we receive faith, amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, amen. And how can we hear without the preacher, amen? And how can they believe except he be sent? And so these preachers, amen, even these preachers that were on this broadcast tonight were sent to you that you would also, The Word of God, God himself would be made manifest to you, revealed unto you, because it's due time. Amen. Amen. It's high time. Amen. It's time for it to rise because our salvation is nearer than we believe. He said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. This was the message, that there was no darkness, amen, in God the Father himself, amen. He was light, amen. Not only was he light, but this was the message. This was what they had heard. This was what revealed unto them, amen. So if you're walking in the light, amen, there's no need for stumbling tonight, amen, because we have the light of the world. You know, the Bible says in John also wrote in John chapter 1, he said in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's a declaration, there's a manifestation. When you see the Word, you've seen God. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus declared it in John chapter 14. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. When the Word is seen and made manifest unto you, revealed unto you, amen, as you have to open it, amen, that as the books were sealed in the time of Daniel, amen, and the Lamb of God has opened the seals of understanding, amen, the Spirit of God opens up our understanding, amen, and to us, amen, because the Bible says in 1 John, he said, you need not that man teach you, but it is the anointing that teaches you, and it is no lie, and his truth. The Bible teaches in John chapter 14, he says, and I will give unto you the Spirit of truth. Amen. The world cannot see the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter tonight, but you see it and know it because you're led by the Spirit tonight. And so the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Amen. So it's talking about this Word was in the beginning. God was in the beginning. Amen. And the manifestation was in the beginning. He said all things were made by him, made by the Word, made by God. And the Bible says that without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We need to know tonight that the light was in God the Father, and the light's in God the Son, and the light is in, amen, God the Spirit. And the Bible says that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It wasn't manifested to the darkness, amen. Amen, hallelujah. But even though it came into the darkness did not have a manifestation, did not have a revelation tonight, amen. Tonight, if you're in darkness, amen, and you're sitting in darkness, and even within your life, even within your very soul and spirit tonight, if there's darkness, you cannot comprehend the light. But if you'll let the light shine in, amen, because you've been called. The Bible says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You've been called out of darkness unto his marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises, amen. And the Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came. He came just like Titus, just like other preachers. They come for a witness. Amen. We are a witness. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said that you shall receive power, dunamis, power, miraculous power. After that, which the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He had declared, amen, that right there where we're at tonight, we need to not overlook. If there's anyone around you, any in your life, any of your family, don't overlook them to try to save the world. You need to go right there where you're at. Start out right there where you're at. Those that are around you, those that are in front of you, begin to minister to them. Those that are around you in the beginning, in your homeland, all around you, begin to speak the word of God. Begin to manifest the word of God in your life. The Bible says, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The Bible says that John did come for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Amen. That was, amen, the witness. That was the testimony as John began to preach there in the wilderness with a man who had, amen, camel hair and ate honey and locusts, amen, and as sabbatical year, that, amen, many of the church went out there in the wilderness to hear him, and he began to baptize, amen, in the baptism of repentance, amen. It was John's ministry to turn the heart of the children back to the fathers and the heart of the children, the father back to the children. Amen. He was, amen, and seemingly the best man, amen, and that's what it happens there, the best man of the wedding, takes the hand of the groom and the hand of the bride, amen, and many times the hand, and that's what John did. He handed, amen, the church that he had witnessed to, amen, to the bridegroom, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, we have an opportunity tonight, amen, to have the light of the world in our life. We don't have to sin in darkness. We don't have to live in darkness. We are born in sin, shaping in iniquity. In other words, in our guilt. But tonight we can have the light. We can have a manifestation. We can have a revelation. We can have the light on, like some of the motels. They said, leave the light on. I'm telling you tonight, this is a gospel that will leave the light on all around the world. Amen. That will cause, amen, the gates, because there'll be no darkness there, because the Lord God will be the light himself. And the Bible says he came into his own. He was in the world, in verse 10, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He came into his own didn't receive him. He was in the world, but the world did not know him tonight. Amen. And you need to know tonight, if you're in the world, you don't know him. But if you're in the Spirit, you will know him, because he will live on the inside of you. He will be made manifest, because it's due time. Church, you need to know that right now, this hour, this time, is the due time that the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word of God, through the exhortation of the Word of God, through the lifting up of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's revealed unto you. And the Bible says, hallelujah, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those that were born of God because they believe in his name. Amen. Hallelujah. When they took on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. But there was a manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into them, and as they received it, they were born of God. Amen. Of the will of God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Amen. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. The Word of God dwelt among and was made flesh, manifested, the Scripture said. Amen. To the Gentiles received, amen. God was manifested. When Jesus came, God was made and revealed, amen, through the Son. The Father was have a revelation. You have to know the Father and the Son tonight, amen. When you acknowledge the Son, you have the Father also. But if you just acknowledge the Father tonight, you don't have the sacrifice. You have to have the Son along with the Father. Amen. And the Bible says, in His fullness have we all received, and grace of grace. You have to understand that John bore witness and say, He that cometh as me before me, for He was before me. And even though in the natural realm, Jesus came about 6 months after John in the spiritual realm, He was there in the beginning, just like the Scripture said. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, we do to the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Amen. Paul writing to the church, amen, at the church of Corinth, amen, and the grace of God began to be bestowed upon the churches in Macedonia, which is your modern-day Europe, your Europe regions and your countries there, amen, in the Euro region. And the Bible says how that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. When the Lord, amen, began to reveal Himself in Macedonia, here the churches there, these were churches that had gone, that we're going through a great trial. That hasn't changed tonight. Amen. But when you go through that great trial, the Bible says in James, count it all joy. Amen. When you fall into diverse temptations. Amen. And so here these two trials have come, and take it not strange of the fiery trial with which you meet it tried with. Amen. Because the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though gold is tried by fire. Amen. Your faith is much more precious than any gold. Anything that you receive from God is much more precious than any gold or silver or anything upon this earth. And so then the Bible says that these churches were in a great trial of affliction. But there came the abundance of joy, the revelation, the manifestation of the Word of God. Amen. Brought them out of those great trials. Amen. And just like He said in Isaiah 43 in verse 1 and 2, He said, when you go through the water and through the rivers and through the flood, He said, it shall not overflow you. When you go through the fire, it will not kindle against you. He said, I will be with you. Amen. And hallelujah. So tonight, whatever you go through, God will go through with you. He will be in you as believers. Amen. Hallelujah. He abides on the inside. Amen. And the Bible says, and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of liberality. In other words, this was a church that was in great trial, great affliction, but all of a sudden had an abundance of joy because of the manifestation of the Word of God. It was a church that was in deep poverty, now all of a sudden giving liberally. The Bible says, for to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon it the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So he was talking, amen, as he wrote to the church in Corinth, amen, and speaking to the church in Corinth, amen. This is the second letter. He said, look, we need to look at the churches in Macedonia. They were in great affliction, but now they're in abundance of joy. They were in great trials, and they were in deep poverty, but now they're giving liberally. He said, I want to bear record of this. They're giving beyond their power. They're giving beyond. They're giving what they don't have. You know why? Because they wanted to encourage you. He said, receive the gift. Knowing, amen, the Apostle Paul knew that they didn't have it, but all of a sudden, here was the gift. Here was the provision. You need to know something tonight. As Abraham took Isaac up there in Genesis chapter 22, you need to know that at the very time as he laid down Isaac there, amen, on the altar, and amen, and Isaac was a willing vessel. He was presenting his body a living sacrifice, even though amen had come through and God had been told, because Abraham believed, he was a man of faith, amen. God had manifested Himself to him. Hallelujah, through His word, through Him speaking to Him, through His voice, and amen, as He comes, knowing that even if He needed to, He would raise up Isaac even as a resurrection, because in Him was the promise, amen, that He told, God spoke to Abraham and said, your seed, through Isaac, who was a child of promise, would be as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. So He knew He could not die forever. But as He come there and put Him on that sacrifice, there was a ram in the bush, amen, and He made an altar. That altar was called, amen, and He named the altar Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord who will see to our provision. You have to understand, when they receive the manifestation of the Word of God, God will see your provision. There'll be a ram in the bush. There'll be divine provision and divine partaker, amen, because of the manifestation of the Word of God, because God is manifesting Himself unto you, because it's due time. It's a time appointed for you to receive the very blessings of God. And the Bible says, and this they did, not as we'd hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. In other words, it wasn't that they're giving the gift of the finances or anything. The first thing they did is give yourself. Church, tonight, the first thing is key is if you want to see a manifestation of the word of God, amen, by the preaching, the first thing you got to do is give yourself. Amen. That's the greatest gift that you can give. If he gave himself, then you give yourself. John 15, 13 says, greater love have another man than this, and then lay down his life for his friend. He said, I no longer call you servant, but I call you friend, because the servant knows not what the master. Amen. He's your master, and he's your friend tonight if you've given your life to him. Tonight, the first thing you need to do is give yourself, amen, as he gave himself and manifested himself to you. And the Bible says, in so much that we desire, Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish you with the same grace also. You got to remember, when I first started out here, the Apostle Paul writing to Titus, here's Titus, amen, he desires to be with you. He desires to finish, amen, with the same grace also. In other words, the Bible says he was looking into Jesus Christ, amen, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, says, looking unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Who was that joy? You were that joy, amen. You were that joy, amen. He was going to death, amen, only for you, because he loved you. And the Bible says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the formness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. In other words, verse 7 says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. In other words, as you're abounding in your faith, that abounding faith, that abounding utterance, that abounding knowledge, that abounding diligence now, and also an abounding love. Amen? Church, tonight, we need to know the abounding of God. The Bible says that we both learn how to abound and to obey. And he wanted the churches at Macedonia to abound in the grace of God, the unmerited favor, the loving favor of God. According to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, it's something that we choose. We are to choose loving favor rather than great riches. We are to choose a good name rather than gold and silver. And the Bible says, so he spoke not my commandment, but by the forwardness of others. In other words, these were example. What motivated the Apostle Paul was the forwardness of the believers who had went through a great trial of affliction, amen, hallelujah, and a great poverty, and now these ones that were in deep poverty were giving more than they owed, just like the widow woman. She gave of her living, the others gave out of their abundance, but she gave the two mites, which was, amen, was more than they owed because she gave of her living. Tonight, what are you willing to give because of the manifestation of God in your life? There is an abounding grace, abounding mercy, abounding, the Bible says, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The riches of the world are uncertain riches, but the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. All your need, excuse me, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. There's riches, there's treasure. The treasure that you lay up in heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. The pearl of great price is Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said, I count it all done that I may win Christ. Amen. Nothing that I've gained in my life, nothing that he had gained in his flesh, he counted it loss. Amen, that he may win Christ. The ultimate prize is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. You need to know tonight that the prize is in Christ Jesus. It's incorruptible. It's an inheritance that you receive through him because he is the manifestation of the word of God. He is the manifestation of God himself. Amen. And the Bible says, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, we who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. In other words, when they started to be given the benefit, they looked at the churches at Macedonia. They saw their boldness. They saw their forwardness. When they had nothing to give, they gave it themselves. And amen, this motivated Paul. Are you motivated tonight by those that are in great affliction, deep poverty, giving more than y'all? That's saying something tonight, church. Many of you know that those that are, as far as financial wealth, are in deep poverty, but they're giving all that they have, more than y'all. Amen. And so, church, tonight, amen, we need to give everything that we can give tonight. And the Bible says, verse 12, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. In other words, if you're willing tonight, you are accepted, amen, because you're not accepted for what you have not, but you're accepted because you have a willing mind. The Bible says in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 18, says if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Church, are you willing to receive the manifestation of the Word of God? Are you willing to be obedient and obey the Word of God? Just as Sister Green said, not one jot or tittle shall fall away by the wayside. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The manifestation of the revelation through the Word of God, through the preaching, will always be here. And the Bible says, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, amen, but by the equality that now at this time, here's that new time he was talking about in Titus, your abundance may be supplied for their want, and that their abundance also may be supplied for your want, that there may be equality. And there's an equal because there's a time that you might have a superabundance. Lifetime is your abundance. The reason why you have an abundance is to give to those that have that the lack. And there's times that when you're not one, because there's a time that you might be needing one, that there's someone else that has that abundance that they can give to your needs so that everything's equal. And the Bible says that it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that hath gathered little had no lack. In other words, there was nothing lacking in the body of Christ. There was nothing lacking to the manifestation of the Word of God, because God was revealing himself and manifesting himself and meeting the needs, whether you were poor, whether you were rich, whether you were, if you had an abundance, amen, you gave the abundance unto those that were lacking. If you were lacking, amen, you receive. It was a time of receiving. The Bible says, amen, in Galatians, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the Bible said, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. So Titus began to reach out to the churches at Macedonia. We guys begin to reach out, amen, to those there in Corinthians, and they were trying to be encouraged. And the Bible says, for indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. In other words, he went unto the believers there, amen, it's Corinthians, because he was more forward, because he saw, amen, he was exalted by these that had nothing who gave everything, amen. And so Titus had received it, amen, and born there, so he had an exhortation. The Bible says, exhort one another whilst called today, amen. And so we need to lift one another up. And the Bible says, we send unto him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. So they sent unto him, amen, the brother, not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us, with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, a declaration of your ready mind. In other words, they chose out certain ones to go with them, to travel with them, to manifest this grace, amen, this word of God, to those that had a ready mind to receive the manifestation, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. In other words, they had integrity where they had received the abundance, and now they were handing it to them and giving the abundance that had been given to them, so that he said, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of our Lord, but also in the sight of men. So we were providing things honestly in the sight of God and men. Amen. And the Bible says, and we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things. Amen. So the messengers were diligent. The Bible says, amen, I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He says, well, we must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So here are these messengers, here are these preachers, were diligently giving to the churches, amen, in the abundance, and these needs were being met, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the church, and of the glory of Christ. In other words, if you begin to ask about Titus, he's my fellow helper. He's my partner. Amen. He's my partner in my Father's business. Amen. In the Father's business. The Father's business, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God the Father. Amen. They're all in business together. They're part of that fellowship. That's what he's talking about, exhorting the churches. Amen. To come into that fellowship and having fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Church, that's tonight. Do you have fellowship with the Father and the Son? Oh, because they've been made manifested, they've been revealed to you. Amen, from glory, and we beheld his glory. Have you beheld his glory tonight? It's time if you haven't. His word was made flesh, amen. His word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now it's alive, amen. As he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for all of us, amen. The word of God is alive and well. Jesus Christ, I believe it's Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, wherefore, show ye to them time for you to see. And before the churches, the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Here was Titus sent. Here was these fellows. That they were partners. They were fellow helpers. They were ministers. What were they sent for? So that you could see the revelation of the Word of God in your life. Not only can you see, this is not one-time revelation. This is a lifetime of revelation. When the Word of God is to be live in you, it's a lifetime. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing of going to the altar. It's a lifetime commitment for the rest of your life. Will you receive it right now? Will you receive the manifestation? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's manifested to you tonight. Do you see it? Is the light coming in, or are you walking in darkness? But Jesus Christ has the light. To every man that was light, he said to him, you are the light of the world, and he will light everyone that comes. Just come to the light, amen, and your life will change because he will manifest himself. Come away from the darkness. That gross darkness there, but he's come, and he's a light unto you. Will you receive him now? Let him be made manifest. Just turn the light on. Go ahead, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there, Brother John. Go ahead and make the church announcement there, Brother John. Tell them the time and where you're at there.
Okay. We're at 114 East Main Street in Thomaston, Georgia. We're about 70 miles south of Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. Our services are on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, and Sunday right now we're meeting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but we will on Easter Sunday we'll be going back to our old schedule, which will be which is April 20th, 10 o'clock in Sunday school, 11 o'clock regular service, and 6 o'clock Sunday night. But if you're in the area, just come and be with us. Amen. Zion Tabernacle is the name of our church, and I'm the pastor. We just want you to know that we love you and praise you, the Lord, for the opportunity to come and be with you.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Sister Gladys, tell us about
yes.
your church.
Yes, it's 6367 U.S. 60 in Folksville, Kentucky, and we have it on at 10 a.m. in the morning on teaching in Sunday school, 11 o'clock preaching, 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and on Wednesdays we have 7 p.m., and everybody's welcome.
Praise the Lord. Okay, Brother and Sister Green, come in there and tell us about your church there.
Yes, it's Heavenly Highway Tabernacle. It's in Madison Township, Ohio, which is considered West Middletown also. It's 5590 Michael Road. Our services are Sundays, 10 a.m. Sunday school, and then there's 6:30 p.m. Sunday night. Wednesday is 7:30 p.m., and then Saturday night at 7 p.m.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. So everybody's heard the announcements of the church, and Brother Ronnie got off too quick. I didn't get a chance to get him to tell the announcement of his church, but we got about 4 minutes left, so I guess we'll get Tim to sing another song here. And I really enjoyed this broadcast tonight. Everybody's brought the word. Everybody's done a great job. It's a great anointing of God. And so a few times I felt like running around here and dancing a little bit and shouting the victory there. So we just praise God for it. So praise the Lord. As Tim sang, worship the Lord with him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. When I wake up in the morning and go throughout my day, I just want to praise his name all along the way. He has been so good to me, so faithful and kind. And that's why I want the world to know God, Jesus, on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. When Satan tries to tempt me and worry me with doubt, I just choose to trust him. He always brings me out. He is always with me and he's always on time. That's why I want the world to know I've got Jesus on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. I got him on my mind. Got him on my mind. In the early morning, I got him on my mind. When my heart is troubled, I got him on my mind. I got him on my mind. Got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. I've got Jesus, yes I have. I've got Jesus. I've got Jesus on my mind.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song. We've got about 40 seconds left there. So, Sister Freda, you got anything you'd like to say in 40 seconds?
No, I didn't say it all, Brother Gary. I enjoyed it tonight, though.
Hey, man, I did, too. I tell you what, it's been a wonderful broadcast tonight. I know that somebody's been touched. I know God's been a moving, and I just praise God for it. So I'll say good night to everybody, and we'll do this next week. They just said we got 10 seconds. So God bless everybody, and we appreciate you, and we love you. So we'll talk to you later.
God bless you.
God bless.
Have a good night.
God bless. Bye.